blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 51, stanzas 2 and 3. The burden of the sorrowful the Lord will not despise. He has not turned from those that mourn. He hearkens to their cries. 2 and 3 of Psalter 51.
Further, we wish to read from the prophecy according to Isaiah, and thereof chapter 10, the first 23 verses. But first, let us read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will ye do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will ye flee for help, and where will ye leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass, that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. And I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself, as if it were no wood? Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. And the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may write them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined, in the midst of all the land thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty, Thou who art most righteous and who art most just, to deal with us, Thy creatures whom Thou hast made in Thy own image, and to love Thee and to love our neighbor, and from whom we have turned away to serve him who had rebelled against Thee. O, Thou art so righteous and Thou art so just to leave us in the misery wherein we have brought ourselves. Thou hast set it unto our covenant head Adam. In the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And Lord, then we have in him turned away from thee, and we now lie polluted in our own blood, cast out in that open field. And thou art so righteous and thou art so just to leave that whole posterity in the sin, in the iniquity, and in the misery in which we have brought ourselves. And thou knowest our hearts and the choice of our hearts every day again. Though thy word is come unto us with so many outward blessings in the midst of this world, as so great a prosperity and so great mercies bestowed upon us, then we are called, each one of us, to turn ye from your evil ways. For why would ye die? All then is set before us, that way of righteousness and the way of truth. All is set before us him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, and we have no desire after thee. Oh, how just and how righteous thou art, O Lord. And we can only confess to thee that thou wouldest leave us, each and every one with our children, to go on in the choice that we make with all the desires of our carnal and our sinful hearts. Oh, deal not with us as we so justly deserve. Oh, could it please thee to stop us upon our mad career? Oh, to turn us again, Lord, we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word. Thy people, whom thou hadst bestowed so many blessings upon, and they did turn away from the service of thee. Oh, they did turn to their the idols of the heathen, and thou didst say, yet a remnant shall return. Oh, there shall yet be a few, and they shall come again. Oh, Lord, then it is only the power of thy most holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are all the same, cut out of that same cloth. Oh, it is only that remnant. Lord, wilt thou make us one of that people, both young and old? Oh, thy servant did say, to run that race that is set before us, And because there is only one that receiveth the prize in the races of this world, oh, so run, he did say, as if there would be one, only one that would receive the prize. But Lord, thou knowest we cannot so run. All the disposition of our heart, and that is all so inclined to what is carnal and to what is sinful, and there is only hope in thee. Oh, we beseech it of thee then. Oh, when we begin, and by calling upon thy most holy and worthy name, oh, to pray in the name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, to pray for his sake alone, in whom thou art well pleased, and by whom alone thou art able to show mercy unto us, to change our vile and our sinful hearts, and to make us as we have sung together. Oh, his goodness makes me join the throng, where saints his praise do tell. Oh, that it might be the desire of each and every one of us, all in returning again to praise the name of the Lord. Oh, that we with all our hearts may long and desire to return unto God our Maker, and that we might feel the great impossibility. Oh, give us to know our own wretchedness and the depth of our misery, that we may cry out from under it for the working and the power of thy most Holy Spirit. For thou dost go to and fro over this whole earth, but thou sayest that thou art in a special way, in that place where two or three are gathered in thy name. O Lord, could it be also in this very hour and in this day, that thou, O great and Holy Spirit, might move amongst us, and that our hearts may be touched by the tender finger of thy own hands, as that great physician, that balm that is in Gilead, to come and to probe the wound, and to wash it from all the dirt that comes out of it, and to pour in that blessed balm that is able to heal that wound. O Lord, we beseech thee, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. O thou who dost feed with good the humble soul, and thou who dost satisfy the meek, oh, could it be also in this hour that it may be experienced, and that it might be tasted that the Lord is good for such creatures as we are? Oh, give us to acknowledge our own iniquity, both young and old, that we might put our hand in our own bosom, and that we might take it out so completely leprous in this hour, and that it may be a great wonder if that great God may look down from heaven in mercy upon such a one as I am. Oh, would it not be so to the great glory of thy dear and only begotten Son? Would it not be to add subjects unto him in his kingdom, that spiritual kingdom? Oh, are not the multitude of subjects, O Lord, the glory of the King? Oh, bring them in then. Where thy word is brought, give us wisdom, Lord, to know how to bring it aright. So according to thy word of truth, because we are but a man, all we need to be endued with power from the Spirit from on high, that we might speak as the oracle of God, and that it might be received by souls in the midst of us before that we die, And before that we go unto our long home, both as the preacher and as the hearer, each one of us together journeying, oh, what shall it profit us if we have gained the whole world and we have lost our own soul? Oh, could we be yet young and old instruments in thy blessed fingers, not for the destruction of one another, but for the salvation of our souls, or that we might warn one another while it is called today, and that thou wouldest draw us with the power of thy most holy Spirit. O thy servant did say, draw me, we will run after thee, look upon thy people. O awaken them out of the sloth of that sleep that is so carnal and worldly, and that they may be brought to testify of who thou art, that blessed bridegroom for such a bride, a black bride as they are. And when thou wilt draw them and their mouth may go open, oh, then it could be that there are others that might hear, oh, to become the daughters of Jerusalem in the midst of thy church, born in Zion, and beginning to run, but they do not know who that thou art. Oh, look upon such also, and that may be in the midst of us, Lord. Oh, bring with weeping and with supplications, draw with that most powerful, that irresistible spirit that is stronger than the devil and all that holds us under the subjection of death. Oh, thou who art almighty and who art all wise, oh, thou who art all just and who art all merciful, we can only beseech it of thee. We confess our iniquity. We confess our sin. We confess all our transgressions. Lord, we confess that we have done it all wrong and that we are all wrong. Oh, we confess that it is only thee and through the saving grace that is able to deliver us, and therefore we beseech it of thee. Oh, one word, Lord, one word out of thy most holy book in this hour that may come upon a dead soul to raise us to that new life. One word to speak unto thy people, to draw them once again away from the path that they have wandered into as a lost sheep. O thou who art able to bring each and every one of us back, we beseech thee. It says a remnant, Lord. Oh, we all have a soul, each and every one of us. Oh, thou art a great God, and thou canst do great things. We beseech thee for us and for our dear children. Look upon all the needy. Remember those that are in the hospital, in a special way the two little infants, one that must receive surgery in the day of tomorrow. Wilt thou watch over that little child, thou who hast spared the life of that child to this very moment, and thou who hast guided to this moment the hands of the physicians, who has given unto them wisdom above all that we do know, and thou who hast in thy great goodness has spared that life to this moment and given a blessing. Oh, could it please thee to watch over him also in the day of tomorrow, that thou wouldst give those physicians skill upon that little heart, and that thou mayest yet spare life and give a blessing upon that which has to take place. He cannot pray for himself, O Lord, and then he needs others to raise him up before thee. Lord, that thou who art that great intercessor and may also intercede for that little child before the throne of God. A little child who is born and conceived in sin. Remember the other child also, and that thou may continue to grant strength and a building up of that little body. Care for the parents in all of their needs. Strengthen them by day and by night, and all those that receive treatments. All thou art that great physician, bless, Lord, as thou alone art able to do, look on those that mourn. O Lord, a widow, a new widow, a young widow, and children, young children, no husband, no more father, in the midst of this world. O Lord, be on their right and on their left hand, uphold them. They are not able, all they are weak, they are poor. Lord, wilt thou be a husband unto her? Wilt thou be a father unto those children? And that thou may look upon them in the days to come, in the day of tomorrow, in the day of Tuesday, and all in the future, look on all those that sorrow and then miss their loved ones. Care, Lord, for the needy and the poor in this world. Give us to know what our needs are. Look upon the nations of this world and all the turmoil. O Lord, thou art above it all. Thou art king, not the devil. He is the prince of this world. But thou art the king of the universe, and it is all under thy hand. He can do nothing, Lord, nothing without thee. That thou may remember thy people over the length and breadth of this whole world, and also the nation of the Jews. Look upon us in this hour, strengthen us for our labor, and wilt thou bless the work of our hands for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 261 all the stanzas. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy a triumph to his cause have brought. All the stanzas of Psalter 261. Beloved congregation, we read of the officers of the children of Israel that they did see that they were in an evil case. Why was that? Pharaoh said to them, "Go and work. No straw shall be given to you. And yet thou shalt deliver the tale of bricks." Pharaoh is himself an instrument of the very devil, who is a very cruel lord to those who are under his power and who have no ability to deliver themselves from that power. Pharaoh gloried in the plight of the children of Israel, but the Lord saw it. And the Lord would not permit that Pharaoh would always be allowed to abuse that power that is given unto him. But the Lord will also bring Pharaoh himself into judgment and set him before his own judgment seat and deliver the children of Israel out of his hand. Satan is never far away from the true church of God. That was said to him already in paradise after he had tempted our first parents, and when the Lord promised him and that his head would be bruised, would be broken, his power would be broken. But the Lord says, "Thou shalt bruise his heel." That is, thou shalt persecute him, and thou wilt also persecute his church. That is not necessarily the visible church always. That was in different parts and times in the history of the world. But it is his invisible church. What does the Lord say? "I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord." We read, read Isaiah, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right of the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless." That was right in the midst of the church. That was the very rulers of the church themselves abusing the power of the office that the Lord had given unto them against the defenseless of the poor that were in the land. And Satan does not change, but the Lord does not change either. And thus, Isaiah prophesies of the deliverance of that people. The words of our text can be found in the following chapter, Isaiah 11, once again. Isaiah 11, there are verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. Isaiah 11, verses 2 through 5. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The anointing of the coming king. First, the substance of his anointing, and second, the fruit of his anointing. The anointing of the coming king, first the substance, and second, the fruit of his anointing. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him upon whom, we heard that last week, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That rod, that branch is going to be the new king. That is, we heard that kingdom has been cut down. It has become a stump. And then the Lord is going to raise up this little sprout. It is going to be a tender sprout. It is going to be the son of David. It is going to be the son of Jesse. That is not going to be a carnal kingdom. No, that is going to be a spiritual kingdom. God is a spirit. And the kingdom of God is spiritual. Satan is also a spirit, and he is the arch enemy of God, the arch enemy of the Son of God, the arch enemy of the poor of God's people. And now that true church is a people, we read here, that cannot defend themselves. They are a people who have no might against that great company and that cometh against them. What do they need? The Bible says a high tower. Children, in those days, when they were fighting, if you could come into a high and a strong tower, then you were above all what the enemy could reach. Their arrows, then they would have to break down that tower in order to defeat you. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says to his church, to the church of the Lord, sin shall not have dominion over you. For, he says, you are not under the law, but under grace. That is congregation, that high tower. That high tower, did you ever experience that? Grace. There is no one that can touch you there. There is no arrow of the enemy that is able to destroy you in that high tower. May your soul ever flee to that high tower, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That is, upon that king, that new king, of that spiritual kingdom. So what does that speak about? It speaks about the anointing of this king. He is going to grow out of that stump, out of that root, and he is going to be anointed to be the king. Children, you know that Saul was anointed and David was anointed king, right? They had to be anointed to be the king. And now this king, he is not going to be anointed with oil, just like Saul and David were anointed. But Isaiah said he is going to be anointed with the Spirit. Thus, it is going to be a very special anointing. And now, what is the significance of the anointing of a king? Well, that is that a king, Saul and David, they did not choose themselves, they did not run themselves, but the anointing of that king speaks about an appointment, that he is appointed by someone else. And here it speaks about the anointing, just like Saul was chosen by the Lord to be king and David was chosen. And now also the Lord Jesus, he is chosen by the Lord to be the king of his church. That is that spiritual kingdom he will receive, they will receive this king. Why is that important? Because it is by that anointing that they receive authority. Because we can say something, but it does not mean anything. If we do not have an office and we do not have an authority to speak, but now if a person is given an office and he is anointed to that office, he is appointed, well, then his word, that has a great meaning. And so the Lord Jesus, he is now appointed as the king of his church. When did he receive this anointing? Well, he received that in the beginning of his ministry. In his baptism, we read that John bare record of him. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So that dove was a physical picture for that people of the Spirit of the Lord. And as Isaiah has prophesied of this so many years ago, the sentence that is lying upon us is a legal sentence. You ever feel that? That is not just something we can set aside. That is not just something we can say, well, that does not matter, because our court date is very quickly approaching. We do not know when that court date is going to be. And now what does that poor church need? Well, they need a representative. They need a legal representative. They need someone to stand for them. They need someone to speak for them who is recognized by the judge. That cannot just be anyone. No, they need a legal surety that may stand for them in that court. That is now the great significance of our text. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Thus, he is pointed out in that day of his baptism. And the fruits of that, they are being seen and experienced by the people of the Lord all the days of his ministry here below. Oh, is it ever a wonder to us that there is an appointed Savior? Not that man has appointed, but that the Lord has appointed. That he has chosen someone, someone that he will recognize. When we come into that court, someone that he says he will hear, for a people who are not able to defend themselves. Oh, do we realize just who that this is that has no beauty in our eyes, no form, no comeliness in our eyes, that he is the one whom God has appointed, whom the judge has appointed, whom he promises to hear? Does that mean just nothing to us? And when he himself will, on behalf of his Father, be sitting upon that throne on that great day of days, and when we have to appear before him, having heard of him our whole life long, and saying in our heart and with our life that I have no desire that this man should reign over me, all do we understand who it is that our heart despises? And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. He is appointed by God. And it is not only an appointment, but the anointing also speaks about the qualifying. The qualifying of that Savior. That is a very special qualification for the offices that God has bestowed upon him. That he says, I will not only appoint you, but I am going to give you everything that you need to fulfill those offices. What is the importance of qualifications for an office, for a job, for a task? You may tell me, because now in the midst of this world, and we are going to look for a governor of our land, you say, well, who is that going to be? It cannot just be anyone. No, that person needs to be qualified. He needs to be able to do what a ruler of the land must do. Oh, will you hire an unqualified carpenter to build your house for you? Will you hire an unqualified doctor to look after the health or the sickness of your body? Will you hire an unqualified lawyer to plead your case in the midst of this world? Oh, how important to us. And when we are looking for a ruler over all the land, then we say that man, he needs to be wise. He needs to be able to protect our country. He needs to know how to make the right decisions. He needs to know how to raise an army. Oh, the qualifications. That is what our text speaks about. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Congregation, we read about the Apostle John. And he saw in the visions, by the visions of the Lord, he saw seven lamps. Seven lamps that were burning before the throne of God. And those lamps were said to be the seven spirits of God. We go to the prophet Zechariah, and then we read also that he saw a candlestick with seven lamps. And then we go back to Moses, and Moses had to make a candlestick also for the tabernacle. And that candlestick had to have seven lamps. those lamps. There was one main lamp in the center, a stem, and then on the two sides out from that stem were coming three on one side, three on the other side, and we specifically read and that there were three sets of two. Two lamps and two lamps and two lamps. And that is congregation exactly the way we read this prophecy of Isaiah here. We read it is the Spirit of the Lord that shall rest upon him. And that Spirit of the Lord is, as it were, that center stem, that stem out of which all the other six lamps are flowing out of. We read, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So that number seven was very important to the Lord. By that, the Lord gave an indication of something. And here we read and that king, that he was going to receive the anointing of the seven spirits of God. They were all going to rest upon him. That is, the Spirit of God in all of its fullness was going to rest upon him. All the aspects of the Spirit, all the extent of the Spirit, that is the Spirit in its greatest fullness. The Apostle Paul speaks about the church, persons in the church receiving the Spirit and gifts by the Spirit. And they receive those gifts and that Spirit in a certain measure. So the one is given, for example, the ability to explain the word by the Spirit. And another is given that discernment by the Spirit. And another is given faith by that same Spirit, he says, or the gift of healing. Each one in a certain measure. And what does the prophet Isaiah here say? He says that that Spirit is going to be given unto him with out measure. It is going to be given unto him in its fullness, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So what is that? Understanding, that is the power to discern. What is that? The power to discern. That is what is one thing and what now is something else. That those two things are not the same thing. That is the Spirit of discernment. Oh, there are some in this world that receive more of that Spirit of discernment than other persons. But the Lord Jesus, as the King of his church, he is going to receive that Spirit in all of its fullness. And so those Pharisees, when he enters into that ministry, who are not able to tell the difference between an outward religion and an inward religion, who say that is all one, who do not discern between the two. And the Lord Jesus is coming into that church with that Spirit of understanding. And he is giving instruction. And he is saying, woe unto you, Pharisees and scribes, because you are making clean the outside of the cup, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Oh, the Spirit of understanding and the Spirit of wisdom. What is that? That is the application. So how that understanding, when we know what is one thing and what is other, and we can discern between these things, how now do we apply them in our life? And so the Lord Jesus says to that man, take up thy bed and walk. And then he is walking. And then there come some who say, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Ah, there you have it. Oh, there is no wisdom. There is no Spirit of wisdom. And there is no discerning to know what is the truth and what is the right application. But that king, he is going to receive this spirit, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding and the spirit of counsel and of might. So what is counsel? Counsel has to do with advising, and that a person has the ability to come to a conclusion with all the things that he knows and sees, and come to some kind of a right conclusion, and to give that advice now to someone else what they need to do. So that rich young ruler, he comes to the Lord Jesus and he says, now all these things have I kept from my youth up. And he wants advice. He says, young people, he says, what lack I yet? And now the Lord Jesus, what did he say to him? Oh, he is filled with that spirit of counsel. He knows just how to answer this man. Or he knows how to answer every man individually. He knows what this man needs. Then he said to him, go then. Go away and sell now all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And take up thy cross and come and follow me. Oh, counsel, do you ever marvel when you may read how that the Lord Jesus has answered his enemies? Do you ever marvel at how that he understood? How that he discerned between this thing and that thing? Do you ever marvel at his wisdom in the application? Do you ever marvel at the counsel? Oh, we can read that those in his days did marvel at the wisdom of this man, a spirit of counsel and might. What is might? That is power. Power to carry out our purpose. And that we have indeed the means not only, but also the might and the power. Thus, speaks very often about physical strength, but often also about spiritual and moral strength. Thus, the Lord Jesus is tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And what does the Lord Jesus say to that devil? Get thee behind me, Satan. You have the power to do that. You have the power to do that. In the midst of all the temptations that are in this world, I was going to say young people, but I thought I'm not going to say young people. I'm just going to leave it with all of us. Because we can talk about the young people. But who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? Then it begins with us, grandparents, parents, and children. You say, where is our power? Where is our power? Oh, he is this king as a king, and completely with a power over sin. Power over sin. There was not one sin that had power over him, because he was filled with the spirit of might. That is a moral might, a righteousness that was in him. He was filled with that righteousness, and he was filled with that holiness. And finally, we read the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. These have both to do directly with the relation unto God. knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the knowledge of Jehovah. Oh, that he knew him. You read in the Bible, and that is now eternal life, that I might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. And now that knowledge of him, that is not just a knowledge of the mind, no. It is speaking about an intimate knowledge of him. It is speaking about a knowledge which has, again, moral and spiritual aspects. So Christ, he says, I know him that sent me. Oh, yes, indeed. He knew him. He knew him better than anyone in this whole world knew him. And then lastly, and the spirit of the fear of Jehovah. What is that? That is the fear of reverence. That is to revere him. He says, I honor my Father. Oh, if he stood in awe of the Father, oh, what think we of how that we go about all our most holy duties, that tender fear that lived in the heart of that blessed King. So we see those seven spirits, the seven spirits that are before that throne of God. Isaiah says he is going to be endued. Those spirits are going to rest upon this new King. And why? What was the purpose? What would they be used for? Let us sing first. 124, 2, 3, and 4. Supremely fair thou art. Thy lips with grace o'erflow. His richest blessings evermore doth God on thee bestow. 2, 3, and 4 of 124. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. What does that word mean? That's translated here, quick understanding. That means, children, to smell. King Solomon was given an earthly wisdom, and in this sense, he was given also a quick understanding. And there were two women, both mothers, and they say, the living child is mine. And now Solomon, he receives that gift from the Lord of a quick understanding. And he can smell it. He can smell it. And therefore, he brings his judgment forth. That is now what Isaiah says this new king is going to have. He is going to know what is living in the heart of each and every one. He is going to know who fears the Lord, children, and he is going to know who does not fear the Lord. Even though on the outside it might look different to us, this king will be of quick understanding. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes like we do, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears like we do. No, he will not need to do that. He will not need any witnesses to come into the court. He will not need anyone to give any testimony. He will know the motive of every action. Oh, do we not see it on his time here upon this earth, because we read that Jesus knew their hearts and then he could make his judgment. And so we have the description by Isaiah of this new king. And why does he prophesy of the king like this? Well, that is for a purpose. That is for that remnant. We just heard something a little about that remnant. And that remnant did suffer. They suffered even in the midst of the visible church. And Ahithophel, we know, is a very intelligent man. But he stood on the wrong side. He stood on the side of evil. So all the gifts and all the intelligence of Ahithophel, that was all used for exactly the wrong purpose. So how often is it not that way in this world, in the midst of this world, so that the poor are oppressed? And that was now what was taking place, even in that land of Israel that the Lord was condemning. But now Isaiah says that there is a new king coming, and that new king is going to do very differently. Why, he says, with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Thus he is prophesied of, and he is preached by Isaiah as the hope of the oppressed poor who had no defense against those that had power and who were wicked in their heart. And now Isaiah says that sevenfold Spirit of God is going to rest upon this king, that every whit of that Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, that Spirit of counsel and might, that Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, those seven spirits, that every one of those spirits is going to bear up for the sake of that oppressed people, that he may deliver that people from everything that is coming against them, from every angle, from every slithering of the devil, who comes as a roaring lion and who comes as an angel of light. But this king, he will be endued with that power from on high, that wisdom from on high, that spirit from on high, that seven spirits that are standing before the throne of God. And there shall nothing of that satanic device be able to overcome that true people of God. Oh, to whom does such a king now have appeal? That is only to a repentant soul. Only. What is repentance? Ah, you say that is turning. Yes. From what? From sin. From wickedness. Turning unto God in our heart. That is the immediate fruit of regeneration. Without repentance, this king is a king of terror. Of terror. Why? Because we stand on the wrong side. And he has every whit of the wisdom and power of God to come against and to destroy every one of his enemies. But as soon as a soul is born again, then congregation, he is standing on the other side. Or then he desires righteousness. Then he desires holiness. Ah, he is not holy. He is not righteous. No. But now that desire for that righteousness and that holiness is now living in his heart. That is the beginning we read in the Bible of the warfare of the church militant that is seeking to destroy sin. Oh, Paul's poor soul has cried out to God in the midst of that warfare. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. That is now the warfare that is in that church militant. And that church is oppressed in that warfare. And they are not able to overcome that enemy, what has become the enemy. The enemy of sin. Just like Pharaoh, he oppressed the children of Israel. And that people, they have no power to come under the servitude. That servitude of sin. Sin is too strong for that people. Is it also too strong for you? And now this promised king is going to judge, it says, the poor with righteousness. He is going to take out the oppressor. He is going to pay the price himself. And then he is going to bestow upon that people that gift that he purchases for them. He is going to bestow it upon them freely by free and sovereign grace, so that there is no man that will be able to say one word against that people. Not the devil himself. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil? Because I am good. Oh, what an understanding. What a wisdom. What a counsel. What a might. No man is going to speak like this man against the oppressor. The oppressor of the poor of God's people. When he's going to smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And when he's going to slay the wicked with the breath of his lips. A poor man. What is a poor man? A sinless man? No. A poor man. A poor man is a man who is brought so low. A poor man is a man that is not able to help himself. A poor man, he is not able to deliver himself out of his poverty. But what if a poor man is also a guilty man? Yeah, what if a poor man is a guilty man? You know what he becomes? He becomes a meek man, doesn't he? His mouth goes closed. He says, that poverty, that is my own fault. You know what that Hebrew word here means? It points to, in the Hebrew, the meek. It points to the idea of resignation, to resign. To resign, to bow. To say, I am guilty. Because if we lie in our guilt, we don't have anything to say anymore, do we? Because of our unworthiness. And reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Thus this king, he is going to be standing for an oppressed people that have a closed mouth. What did Joshua the high priest have to say? When he stood in his filthy garments. And the devil is standing at his right hand, right next to him, to resist. You know what that is? And your mouth was closed. You don't read Joshua said anything. Could not say anything. No, then there is nothing to say. And when there's nothing to say, then the Lord has something to say. Then the Lord slew Satan. He slew him with the rod of his mouth. The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? No, he does not have any worthiness. He deserves the fire. But I have grace on that man. Take away the filthy garments from him. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And I will change thee with a change of raiment. And then the devil is quiet. And the devil has nothing to say because of the wisdom, because of the instruction, the counsel, the Spirit of God being upon him. And reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Oh, not one jot or tittle is going to fail from the law of God when he comes to deliver his people from their oppressor. Under rule, under reign of this King of righteousness is going to bruise that head of Satan, not only in the purchase, no, but also in the application, in the life of the people. Oh, congregation, what do you think now? What do you think now of this King, Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord? He is setting before the people, and the Lord has preserved this to this very day, that we also may bring his word by the mouth of Isaiah to each and every one of us. This King, oh, is there any beauty? Is there any comeliness? Is there any form that you see in him? Or can you hear all this of him with not a tinge of a desire, with a cold heart, with a hard heart? You know what that means? That means that you see no suitability. No suitability between him and yourself. What does it mean? That means that you do not see yourself. That means you do not know your need. That means that you do not mourn for your sin. That means that you do not feel, and you do not, are not burdened under your depravity and under your slavery, desiring to be delivered from that spiritual death. You do not feel it. And when you do not feel it, you do not need a savior, and you do not need the Spirit of the Lord, which is upon this appointed mediator, with all those spiritual gifts, with that great understanding and wisdom and counsel and might, and that knowledge and that fear of the Lord that is all on his side. Oh, if it remains this way, if it remains that way our whole life long, we will never see beauty. We will never see form in him. And we will never come to look to him. What does he say to you then? Ah, he says to you then, go. Not yet. Go away from that gate. Not yet. Not yet. But he says, go. And sell all that you have. And give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come. Take up your cross. And follow me. Oh, congregation, this King, he is appointed, not by man, he is appointed by God, who made us, you and me, to whom we are accountable, before whom we are going to stand, whose wrath is a consuming fire. A single sin against him that is sufficient to damn us to all eternity. And now he has appointed one whom he will recognize in the day of our death. And we will be lying on our deathbed, if we get one, having now to exchange. When is it going to happen? Say when I'm 70, when I'm 80, 90, 100, how about 48? How about 48? Might not be so far away. And now the Lord says, I have appointed him. No desire. And not only I have appointed him, but oh, I have endued him. I have endued him with so much wisdom and so much understanding. Infinite, infinite. Counsel and might. The knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All then, what is now standing in the way? What sinner? What sinner can then be too great for him? No, Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Oh, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give us to love thee, to desire thee, to need thee. O draw our souls after thee, that we might hunger, that we might thirst for thee. And that fountain of living waters, that bread of life, that is able to satisfy that spiritual hunger and thirst of the poor. Oh, give us to know these things. Draw our souls to seek thee with all our heart, might, and strength. Bless thy word unto the poor, and that may have that gospel preached unto them in all its preciousness and in all its beauty. And wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing, forgive all that was amiss. Help thou us in this day to keep thy day holy and to meditate upon spiritual matters, that we may put aside all that is carnal and all that is passing away, and that our thoughts may indeed be upon thee as we pause for a moment on that Sabbath day in the week. All the labors of our hands, help thou us in the week to come. Spare each one from a sudden and an unprepared death. Remember the child once again to receive that surgery. Help us in our labors in thy house, house visitation, and all the labors in the world and in our homes, in the school. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 199, 1 through 5. His saints shall live, and to the king rich gifts in tribute shall be paid. His praises men shall ever sing, for him shall endless prayer be made. 1 through 5 of 199.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.